A61, number 12B.
Yeah. So we went through the ideas of spirit, and now we have a quick look at the counterfeits of spirit. Now remember what we were discussing when we did the counterfeits of mind. We said that actually we have to distinguish, so to say, between the noumenon and the phenomena. The noumenon is the synonymous term. The phenomena are the ideas of the synonymous terms. And both have their counterfeits. So, spirit as a noumenon has a counterfeit. A noumenon counterfeit. And the ideas, naturally, of spirit have their counterfeits. So they are the phenomena counterfeits. Is that clear? And we also said that actually we are losing our time, so to say, by considering all the phenomena counterfeits, because we know very well what is the opposite of any idea. So if I have the strength of spirit, naturally the counterfeit is weakness. If I have what you want to take from the ideas of spirit, reality, the reality of spirit, the counterfeit is unreality. So this is not really interesting. We know that. That's common knowledge. And we have seen that mostly we can go along quite easily if we just are sure about the noumenon counterfeit. In mind, we had the big counterfeit of the divine mind. We had mortal mind with all its etceteras. We had perhaps animal magnetism in all their shapes and forms. We also saw that in many cases as a counterfeit of mind, Mrs. Eddy would use matter. Always then, when she was considering matter as actually the belief in intelligent, active matter, not just in the dead substance matter. So that here in spirit we get as a counterfeit, naturally, mostly the term, the belief in matter as substance matter. Therefore, in a biblical expression, she would use also flesh, which is a bit more a bloody concept of matter, but meaning really matter. You see, also here we must remember that matter is a very modern term. Those people in the biblical age, they didn't know the term matter. Therefore, I don't think that in the Bible they used the term matter. I would have to look into the concordance, but I don't think they use the term matter. It's flesh. Matter actually is a very modern term and must have come perhaps from the Greeks. And you know that Israel was dead against Greek culture and they would never accept Greek thinking nor Greek terminology. So, again, we have to read the Bible as it was written and take into consideration their whole worldview they had at that time and their way of defining their world. So actually we have here as the very counterfeit of spirit, matter, flesh, as the counterfeit of that sense of spirit which deals with the reality and the substance of spirit. But we have seen that most concepts that we encountered when we went through the ideas of spirit had to do actually with a sense of counteracting the mingling of opposites. Therefore, the counterfeit which we encounter here are spiritualism, which is a mingling of spirit and matter. So this is one of the main, I would call, noumenon counterfeit, spiritualism. Or, if we take the biggest sense of counterfeit of spirit, it is dualism. Really, here we deal with dualism. All right. So no matter what we have in our list of counterfeits, how Mrs. Eddy uses them, they go in the dozens and dozens, and they all have that connotation. Perhaps I just read a few down a few. No, sorry. I read out a few down the list, just for you to catch the tonality in which way she uses the counterfeit of spirit. Not only that she uses it as dualism, but here she comes up with opposites, with halting halfway position. Can you hear? Halting halfway position. The counterfeit of taking the of having the strength of spirit, the firmness of spirit, then all that has to do with opposites, antipodes, with commingling, with mingling, with material opposition, material obstacles, materialism, materiality, material worship, material affection, material sensation. And then all those things that have to do as a counterfeit naturally of good, namely evil, and there is a whole list of that spirit is that which heals the repetition of evil, demigods, evil spirits, other gods, many gods, and so on. So you see, the variety is quite big, but they all turn around to more or less the same thing. Therefore, if we know those very few pertinent opposites, like matter, substance, flesh, like spiritualism, evil, I think we have them. With those, these are the ones that Mrs. Eddy uses usually in her text. And with those, we can understand them. All right. So, we settled the opposites very quickly. But we'll come back to them when we do some of the references. There we see how important it is to know them, or else the text doesn't make sense. Then we go to another aspect of spirit, like we did with mind. You remember we said that in studying the synonymous term and in order to get the fuller, rounder, warmer, practical sense of each synonymous term, we must also see how a synonymous term, the quality of a synonymous term, translates itself down to the point of the human attitudes towards that synonymous term. You remember that? Yeah. What did we have in mind as attitudes towards mind? Can you give me one or the other? Without looking to your notes? Waiting for the mind of Christ, yeah. Willingness to learn, huh? Others? Listen. Wisdom. Come on.
Desire.
Come on.
Right motives.
Right motive, yes, very good, yeah.
Seeking.
Seeking, you see. Take all those that have to do really with the mind process. Seeking, studying, learning, investigating, discovering, turning your thought towards God, desire, motive we had. You see, those were those qualities which Mrs. Eddy would associate as qualities in the human that are building the bridge to the divine concept of mind. Now we take them in spirit. And you see that they are very different again, that they are not the same, that we don't approach spirit with the qualities of mind. And in spirit we will have to see that they are qualities in the human that more or less reflect that sense of spirit which separates. We saw one of the biggest ideas of spirit is that it separates. How do we separate from the human point of view? She says, for instance, materialism must be silent so as to have audience with spirit. Can you hear the difference between mind? What is the difference? Materialism must be silent in order to have audience with spirit. No. Woohoo, come on, come on. Can you see the spirit sense in it, or is it mind sense? Why? The only? Yeah? Is it the only? Yeah? No, it's not the only, huh? What do you do?
You separate.
You separate, huh? Yeah? You shut up, material sense. Yeah? So as to have audience, huh? With spirit. She says to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Can you hear? Again, you separate. Huh? You make a separation in your attitude. Huh? You say, I'm turning away from the body and I'm turning towards the Spirit. She said, render unto Caesar that are Caesar's and to the Lord that are the Lord's. Huh? Can you see? What do you see when you make like this? What is it? You differentiate, not only differentiate, but you actually begin to move into towards the direction. Yeah. She says, yeah, it's very clear. She says, turn away from material sense, looking towards the imperishable things of spirit. See, can you see? This is not an idea of spirit, because it doesn't say anything about spirit. It says something about us. We must see that. The moment the synonymous term is used in conjunction with what we do, then it is no more an idea of spirit, but it is a translated sense from spirit to the human point of view, which says, if spirit is the line of demarcation, then you better make also a line of demarcation. And in order to make a line of demarcation, you better turn away from material sense and look towards the imperishable things of spirit. Can you see what spirit does? If you think about spirit from the human sense, always think like this. You turn away from something, you turn towards something. Did you have that in mind? The attitude of mind was like this. You open up yourself and say, golly, I want to seek, I want to know, where do I get to know? It's an opening up. If you open up and you see, oh golly, there is something that is called the divine mind and its infinite idea, which is the only reality, then you say, get up, and I go this way. Can you see the different attitude mentally? Yeah? So when it comes to soul, it's again a different attitude. But you can see how it is always that separation which we do, which within our own attitude execute. She says, to be on communicable terms with spirit, persons must be free from organic bodies. You free yourself from organic bodies or from the concept or from looking towards organic body, and you turn yourself to the imperishable things of spirit. There's always this point of decision, a point of no return. Once you have reached that, you leave behind what needs to be left behind. and you go right forward. You don't look back anymore. She says, every step towards goodness is what? A departure from materiality and is a tendency towards spirit. Departure, and it's a tendency towards spirit. Can you hear? You see, they come and recur and recur and recur because that's the impact of spirit on the human mentality, on the human attitude, I would say. This turning away and turning towards the right. It's what we say is choosing the right. Put first things first. We also had that. He says, as the physical, material, transient sense fades, the radiance of spirit should dawn upon unraptured sense. Fading, dawning. When does it fade? The less attention we give to the wrong, the less affection we give to the wrong, the less time and energy and anything we give to the wrong, the more we open the gates for the realities of things to pour in. Therefore, finally, towards the end of the textbook, she says, emerge gently from matter into spirit. Again, can you see? From matter away into spirit. Emerge. Get out of it. Come out of the old landmarks. Go into the new. But we have to do something. Can you see the completely different attitude than in mind? Rise in the strength of spirit, she says. To resist everything that is unlike God. Can you see again? That's naturally again, that's not spirit that does that. We do that. We rise in the strength of spirit. We make that decision. So, yeah? Okay.
You have the strength of spirit, which is a quality of the noumena. But the rise, then, is a quality of the phenomena.
Yeah, right? Yeah. The arising is our attitude. We take the strength of spirit, but we have to arise. Spirit doesn't arise. Spirit is already arisen. So we, and in order to arise, we have somehow to leave something behind. Yes? Okay. Did we get that one? Then I come to another subject. We take a few references from the textbook to see if with what we have seen now as mind and spirit, we can read the textbook clearly. We start out with 31, page 31. Line 10. It's a short sentence. He speaks about Jesus. He recognized Spirit God as the only creator and therefore as the Father of all. Now we know that mind is the creator. And the critics come and say, you are all wrong. Spirit is also the creator. Here is a statement that you cannot You cannot negate, you cannot put under the carpet, sweep under the carpet, I think. Sweep under the carpet. Here it is. What are you doing with it? You are an old hand at it, you know. I must give the others also a chance. And you too are an old hand at it. All right.
Because he says recognize, and recognize would be discerning.
Well, then, who is recognizing spirit?
Spirit is discerning something.
No. He said Jesus recognized. Huh? Jesus recognized.
Well, when he recognized that would be his quality of spirit.
That is quite nice if you like to have it that way, but it doesn't touch the real question. Why does she say spirit as the only creator? Why not does she say mind? Huh? Chris is the youngest.
It seems that spirit brings forth life in the sense we're talking about birth and bearing fruit. It also bears fruit in the sense of what it's like. And it seems that what Jesus would be negating there would be the sense that the material is somehow what you take to be real, so you have to recognize the material father. Whereas in terms of the order of spirit, life producing life, you recognize that being is given birth by spirit, that it's not, it has no material reality. You don't have a material father in that sense.
Yeah.
That's as far as I've
got. Well, that the statement in the textbook is one line and a half, and you have about one page. But that was a wonderful child. Thank you. That's fine. Now
separation only from any other.
So the point would be on what?
Only,
huh? Yeah. Huh? See, as simple as that. As simple as that, huh? He therefore, you see, therefore we cannot read this sentence like this. He recognized Spirit God as the only creator. You have to read, he recognized Spirit God as the only creator. Yes. Now, can you see? He says, let's look at the whole paragraph. This is a sentence at the end of a paragraph, but the subject in the paragraph may be indicative of what happens. And the paragraph starts out by saying, Jesus acknowledged no ties of the flesh. And you hear at once, oh, here she is speaking about the flesh being the father, flesh being the creator. From here it came. And your inner music is already on the tonality of spirit. It's geared to that spirit and says, all right, now let's see. And so she goes on and explains a lot about life as father, that life is spirit, not flesh. And so concluding, finally, he said he recognized only one thing, spirit as the creator. Yeah? Is that clear? Let's use another rule which we have said, which is quite good when we listen to our inner truth. Does it ring true if he would have said he recognized mind, God, as the only creator and therefore the father of all? If we leave out the only, it would be quite okay, huh? Yeah. But she took in the only because, as we have said, it was a question, is the flesh the creator or not? Was Jesus created through the flesh or through the spirit? Therefore, the moment she puts up, is Jesus created through the flesh, she can't answer no through mind. Yeah. Yeah?
I guess then if she'd left out only any creator, she would have had to put in the synonym life. Because then you've got Father, that's the only other key object of the sentence. Would that be right? Unless...
Love, you mean?
No, life.
Life, uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, yes, life, yeah. Yes, he could have. He said that if the only would not have been in it, huh, she could also have said that he recognized life, God, as the creator of all. Huh?
What I did actually say was, and I'll speak a little slower, was that if we left out the terms only and creator.
Mm-hmm. And creator.
Because a critic might also say, and look, Mary Baker is using this term spirit, and there's also this big word father, which later on we sort of link with life.
Yeah.
There's two breakdowns.
Yeah.
The key thing being only, but my point was if you left both of those out, the synonym would have had to be life.
Yes. Yes.
As preferred link, preferred strongest quote.
Good. Yeah. Did you get that? Yeah.
If we did have that sentence all alone, not with flesh, I mean, if we just saw that sentence, which I know we don't take apart, mind, God is the only creator, and mind only creates ideas, does it not? I mean, if would it be wrong under certain circumstances to say mind is the only creator?
You can say that, but it at once says, why do you say the only? The moment you say only, you must have, before a discussion about is this or that the creator, huh? You must before have the a discussion, an argument, huh, going on between two opposite aspects. Huh? Yeah.
Right.